Hello, and welcome to Publishers Weekly Insider. I'm Mark Rotella, Senior Editor at Publishers Weekly. In the current issue of Publishers Weekly, we have our annual list of fast-growing independent publishers. The concept of what constitutes an independent publisher is constantly evolving, and for more than 30 years, the Independent Book Publishers Association has been supporting indie publishers regardless of size. Fresh off their annual conference, PW's Seth Dellen caught up with IBPA CEO Angela Bowl for a conversation on indie publishing. So, Seth, Angela?
Thanks, Mark. Angela, welcome to PW Insider. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
First, want to say congratulations on an awesome conference. I was down there, or up there in Chicago this past weekend. How was it for you? What were your takeaways?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it always awesome to have you there. You actually did a fantastic keynote panel on Saturday. We look forward to this conference every year at IBPA. It's our annual event, the one time each year we can get our members face-to-face. You know, there's lots of good networking. We try to throw in some parties. And, good panels, good keynotes, a good opportunity to really learn the ins and outs of independent publishing. So we had a great time. We're a little exhausted right now. It's about day two back in the office, and we're catching up on emails. But it was a lot of fun. We look forward to next year for sure.
Cool. So give us just a quick history, or maybe not a quick history, of IBPA. What is IBPA?
Yeah, so IBPA is a professional trade association, which is very formal words to use to describe us. It just means that we're an organization that exists to support the profession of independent publishing. So we invite members into our group. You know, as you guys said, our members are publishers, any independent publisher, anybody that's not part of the conglomerate. That can be an author publisher, an indie publisher in its own right, an association that publishes books. But we all kind of come together to support independent publishing, generally speaking. We've been around for over 30 years, started in 1987, so we've got a long history of doing this work. And we provide cooperative marketing programs, educational services, just kind of like a hub for people to come into or to engage with in order to publish professionally and to do the best that they can to get their content to readers and to the trade markets as well.
So you said anybody that's not part of a conglomerate, and to Mark's point in the introduction, sort of the definition of indie publishing has changed. What is your thoughts on how it's changed? Where do you think it's at now? And how do you think people define indie publishing?
Yeah, so I guess it has changed, although we've always really just seen it as anything other than the big five and in that space. I think there has been a bit of a swing in some circles to think indie publishing is only author publishing, so it's only people who publish their own work and what they write. And of course, that is a very important segment of independent publishing, very vibrant, very growing segment of independent publishing. We need to absolutely keep our eyes on because it could take over the world. But it's just one part, as I said. There's also tons of small presses, university presses, again, as I mentioned, association presses, like the White House Historical Society is one. You know, we consider them independent presses. They are working with small staffs, limited resources, trying to reach niche markets in any way that they can. So I don't know if that's a changed definition, but it certainly is a broad definition of what independent publishing is and can be. And, you know, a little bit of a difficult master to serve when it has about 17 different heads to feed. But it's a lot of fun because there's a lot of variables and a lot of different ways you can go when you work in independent publishing.
Yeah. You know, I think a little peek behind the curtain of a conversation that we had over in Chicago is with this growing segment of what IBPA classifies as author publishers, you know, the perspective is really you publisher first, you know, the things that you need to know, whether you're publishing somebody else's books or publishing your own books, the kind of the same things, right?
Yeah. I mean, we try and be as agnostic as possible as to the business model, right? So, and really as to the author as well. We just say professionalism matters, whether you wrote the book or somebody else wrote the book that, and you're working with that person, you know, bringing it forward with the professional standards, pushing it into the market professionally, ensuring that the greatest amount of access to the book is available, you know, through wholesale distribution at the very least is the right thing to do, is the good thing to do. But yeah, I mean, at any rate, regardless, it's just about the professionalism. And all of these books that come through, we see some amazing, you've seen them. There's just beautiful books coming through author publishers, indie publishers, small presses, everything coming through. A lot of it is, the quality is just up and up and up.
And creating a professional-looking product, not that a book is a commodity, but creating a professional-looking book is one challenge to, you know, a creator or a facilitator as a publisher is. But in terms of existing in the ecosystem of publishing, can you identify some of the issues that indie publishers are dealing with in this moment of resources being so widely available?
Well, yeah, I think the biggest thing is it's such a big ocean, and I don't know if this is an indie publisher specific problem. Maybe it's just a general problem related to publishing books. There's so many books that are released. So just being seen, being, you know, acknowledged and having your work be purchased by people, that's difficult for indie publishers as well as everyone else, I think. But for indies, it's just like the mountain seems much bigger, much higher to climb because of the, you know, again, limited resources and kind of not being able to get into the market because it can feel like it's very crowded
sure.
by the big five. So, you know, they've got all of those channels kind of siphoned off a little bit, and you kind of have to scrape and scramble your way into them if you can. So, you know, I think that the big challenge is just how do you be seen? How do you be heard? How do you find your niche and make sure that readers are aware of the books that you're publishing? But indies can be really good at that because they can turn on a dime, if you will, when sometimes the big companies have a hard time doing that, you know, digging into their niche and working with the readers directly, that
sure.
kind of a thing.
Yeah, and that's something that we heard, you know, at Publishing University, which is the name of the annual conference. Dominique Raca, which is how you pronounce it, I thought it was Raca, but Dominique Raca, or Raca, the founder and CEO of Sourcebooks, gave the keynote, with sort of this inspiring keynote on how, you know, how to be nimble, how to be smart, how to be data-driven. What do you think were some of the big takeaways from her keynote that were amazing for you to hear? I know you've known her for a long time, but also like really important things for publishers, no matter where they are, whether they're just starting out or they've been in business for a while. What do you think some of the key takeaways from Dominique's talk were?
Yeah, I thought it was really inspiring. You know, her company's 30 years old. She's now the 10th largest trade publisher in the country. She's the largest woman-owned publisher in the country. So there's a lot to be inspired by what she's built, you know.
IBPA member, I might add.
No, yeah, yes, that's true too, which is great. We do love that. I think that, you know, what really hit our audience when I spoke to members afterward was just her journey from the one book that she published out of her home in Naperville, Illinois, to this huge company, right? Like, she was able to build it. And I think a lot of our members, when they join IBPA, they join something like this organization, a professional trade association, because they want to get into the profession. They want to be professional and they want to build a business in publishing. So to see the possibility, to see that it is possible, I think that was really inspiring to a lot of people. And then, of course, you know, for me, being a data geek, I think anything that's data-driven, anytime we can get anybody up there talking about how they find their success to be rooted in the research that they've done on the marketplace and the data that they've pulled from different sources, I think that's always great. I don't know if that's inspiring to people to talk about data, but I do think it's true that that's what really helps you build your business and really helps you understand the market, is to pay a lot of attention to data points and what's happening and to connect to those things. So I was really happy she spent some time on that in her keynote as well and really kind of fleshed that out for the audience.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. And I will even take this opportunity to make a shameless plug that on June 13th, Publishers Weekly is hosting a course on using data in your marketing. So just earmark that, listeners. That would be very cool. I want to change, kind of navigate away from the conference. Last year, IBPA released a list of standards for hybrid publishers. Can you tell us what hybrid publishers are and why IBPA invested time into that particular facet of indie publishing?
Sure. So hybrid publishers are author-subsidized publishers. What I mean by that, author subsidized, is that the author is contributing finances into the publication of the book. And in return, they're getting a greater than usual royalty payment on the back end, so on all sales. So, you know, again, it's author subsidized, it's partnership publishing, and we wanted to put standards around this concept because we know that there can be a lot of abuse when that happens in the industry. We've seen that. The author can be a bit abused and taken advantage of, if you will, because the services provided might be severely overpriced, they might not be as professional as they could be, et cetera. And there's certain work that a publisher does. There's a certain job that is a bit universally acknowledged, but perhaps hasn't really been written down, if you will, starting with vetting submissions, working through the editorial, working through the design, the art directing, all of the copy editing, the proofreading, et cetera, et cetera. That needs to be done if you're going to be called a publisher. So what we wanted to do with the hybrid publisher criteria is just say, the business model, it doesn't matter. Like, who necessarily is going to pay for it? We're saying that, you know, you can make those decisions, the business model is up to you, but the professionalism needs to be there, and this is the criteria. This is the professional criteria. And when we looked at that, you know, we came up with 9 points, which you can find on our website. We found that the criteria for a hybrid publisher, professional criteria, it's exactly the same for any publisher, for a traditional publisher, for anyone that's publishing books. It just is kind of this laundry list of what a publisher does, including marketing, including distributing, selling books, all the way, you know, down through the entire cycle. So we wanted to put that out there so people could see, you know, there's a way that you could run a company like this ethically. And if you were going to do that, here's some criteria for you to follow. And if you're an author that wants to work with a publisher that's author subsidized financially, you know, we hope you'll take the criteria and ask the tough questions, you know, take it and say, here's the criteria number one. How do you meet this criteria? You know, what are you doing to vet your submissions and your content to make sure quality content is getting pushed out? You know, what is your distribution plan for this book, et cetera?
And distribution, I know from being, you know, on the ground at Publishing University, distribution is a major hurdle, I think, for every publisher. What are you seeing in the area of distribution, in specifically how they're working with indie presses, you know, that don't have long lists of existing titles?
Yeah, so traditional distribution, you know, that thing that I think people used to think was the only kind, wherein you had a partner, sales force, and they would sell your book into trade markets, that's very difficult for indie publishers to get at this point because of all of the consolidation. You know, I think, Seth, that's what you're saying. There aren't very many ways in which you can have that, if you will. So a lot of times what we're talking about now is access. And that's very important because, you know, all the marketing that you're going to do as a publisher, if you want to do, you know, push authors or yourself out on book tours, et cetera, those bookstores, those libraries, they need to have access to your book. They need to be able to order it through their traditional channels. So having access is really important and needs to be set up. And if that's where you can get right now, then that's where you can get. I mean, sometimes these are just walls that you can only climb once you have scale, right? Once you've got a lot of books behind you and you can find a traditional distributor if you want one. So yeah, I mean, it was the talk of the town and is always at our conferences generally is, you know, what do I do about distribution and am I okay? Do I have enough? And I'd say if you have access, if there's access to your books, the traditional channels, then, you know, that's good. Good. You should feel good about that.
Are you seeing a shift in strategy from indie presses to, you know, less of a, I want to exist in the publishing ecosystem and more of a direct-to-consumer approach where, you know, they're focusing their marketing efforts to consumer rather than building relationships with the distributors or wholesalers? Or do you think that people are still approaching distribution and wholesaling as if it is the number one thing that they need to accomplish first and foremost?
Well, that's kind of, yeah, it's a great question. I think it's a bit of a personality thing because I know some people do see it as the holy grail and it's the thing that they really want. And in some cases, they see it as a legitimizing factor for their company and their business. And of course, that's fine. You get to make your business decisions and make those calls. But, you know, a lot of people are doing the first thing you said, which is not worrying about it so much, like making sure that they have wholesale distribution, their books are available to be ordered, if somebody wants to order them, if a bookstore wants to order them, but then really pushing all of their marketing, et cetera, and all of their efforts toward consumers and going direct. And there's lots of reasons for that. One reason being how difficult it is to get a traditional distributor that's going to push things through. Another reason being that, you know, shelf space is at, you know, very difficult to get and often purchased and used by the big five almost exclusively. So even if you did a huge push to traditional markets, are you really, is it going to make any difference? I don't know. And the third being that returns can just shrink, like just kill a small press trying to start out. So if you really do some huge push in and you're not really understanding what happens when books get returned to you through that process, you haven't worked on that and how you're going to support that in your company, it can crush a small publishing company right off the bat. So there's lots of reasons to wait for that part, you know, and to push to consumers, and a lot of indies are doing that.
Well, you are a wealth of information. I have one last question as we talk about this conversation about where indie presses fit and how they interact with the traditional publishing industry. You know, we're Publishers Weekly here. You know, we're sort of an institution here, 150 years old. Our listeners listen to this podcast because of that. So what do you, as a representative of indie publishers, want to say to the industry?
Wow, what an honor to have the ability to say anything at all. I think our industry talks a lot about the need for diversity, right? Like we need to diversify the publishing industry. It's not diverse enough. There aren't enough leaders of color or women or people with different points of view, LGBTQ people that are running publishing companies. And that's very true in the traditional sense, but not so much in the independent publishing circles. I mean, this is where diversity is thriving. And I think that the more that we can invite all of these diverse voices into the conversation, not kind of sideline indie publishing as an other kind of a thing that happens over here, the better off we're going to be, generally speaking, with the content that gets pushed out and into consumers. So if I was to say anything about indie publishing right now, I think it's super vibrant, super diverse, extremely interesting place to work right now, and happens all over the country. It's just amazing that there's so much good work happening kind of, what do we say, west of New York City, just all over the place. So kind of engage with it, you know, figure out who your local indies, independent publishers are. I know publishers don't necessarily market themselves, but there's probably one in your city you can kind of connect to and see what kind of work they're doing. It's an amazingly vibrant space.
Made more so through your efforts. Thank you so much, Angela. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Going to throw it back to Mark Rotella. Thanks so much, Angela.
So that was a conversation between Publishers Weekly's Seth Dellen and Angela Bowl, the Independent Book Publishers Association CEO. I'm Mark Rotella, Senior Editor at Publishers Weekly. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe to PW Insider on iTunes, and we'll see you next week.